Seeing him, somebody caught that, didn't they? Seeing him in difficult times. Okay? Difficult times like the present. Difficult times like you're going through right now. And we're going to use a beggar to teach us. A blind beggar. Anybody know any blind beggars in the Bible? We're going to talk about one named Bartimaeus. What I'll do is I'll read through it first. We're going to start Mark 10 and verse 46. We're going to start. And I'll read down through it real quick. And then we'll get into it. So I'll give you a minute to hunt that down. Hunt it up. Hunt it up, hunt it down. Okay. Mark 10, starting in verse 46 again. I've got the NIV, so if you don't have NIV, it may be a little different, but it's pretty much the same. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, now who are they? They're talking about Jesus, right? He's leaving with his disciples, and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. So, Bartimaeus has some lessons to teach us. And we're gonna listen to him, I hope. The first thing that he tells us is, don't wait for perfect conditions. If you need Jesus in your life, if you need a change in your life, don't wait for the perfect time. Right? In verse 46 it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." Now, do you agree that this guy was probably going through a difficult time? First off, he's blind, right? And he's apparently poor because he's a beggar. So that's probably a pretty tough time. He's sitting on the road alone. Would you agree that's a bad time, right? Which we have bad times in our life, right? I mean, you know, you may be struggling with your finances, or I had a thing come up on me today, actually. Well, yesterday. Well, let's go back. In April or May, you know, they send you the little tax statement that says you owe your personal property taxes. I get that in the mail, and maybe a month later we had some extra cash, so I thought, I'll pay it now. So I went on the fancy little website, typed it up, and paid it. Thought, yes, that's done. Don't have to worry about it in 6 months when it comes up and everybody's frantic. Yesterday I get a card in the mail that says, "You haven't paid your taxes. And unless you pay them by November 1st, you'll be in the paper." So I freak out because I thought I'd already paid it. And I still believe I paid it. But they say that I didn't. But anyway, I paid it again. And the banks in town, I go to three different banks. That's not very smart probably, but they're all searching. They're searching the records trying to find this transaction. Here's the deal. If you do it online, that little confirmation number, that's important. If you write that thing down, you got it. That's the first thing they said. You have that confirmation number? I said, no. Too bad. So now my 150 has turned into 300. Anyway, so that was a bad time. So we have difficult situations. And if you was around Facebook, you've seen I posted trying to see God. Because that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to see God because I was in a tough time. So how should we handle difficult situations? We shouldn't probably wait till we get there to look for him. But oftentimes that's what we do. Oftentimes we'll say, well, let me fix it first, then I'll go to church, right? Let me stop drinking, and then it'll be okay for me to go to church. Let me get ahead on my finances and get everything paid just right, then I'll start going to church. But that's not what we need to do. We don't wait for perfect conditions. That's what Bartimaeus did. He's in a bad time. He could have said, well, I'll just wait till I'm not blind and when I got a whole pile of cash and then I'll go find Jesus because I'll have a Lexus or something. But no, he didn't. He knew he had to do it now. The second thing that Bartimaeus has taught us is concentrate on what you have. Concentrate on what you have. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when he heard, now we know that it was impossible for him to see Jesus, right? So what's he do? He listens. They say that people who are blind or cannot see, they are sharper in their other senses because they concentrate on what they have instead of what they don't have. You know, and a lot of times that's what we'll do. I don't have any money. I can't do that because I don't have enough money. I can't do that because I didn't go to school long enough. I can't do that. I can't preach to you because I didn't go to Bible school. Right? What's your I can't? What can you not do because you don't know enough? Or you're not the right person? Concentrate on what you have. Oh yeah, sorry. Sometimes I pass up my notes, but that's okay. We'll just carry on. Might as well, right? Number three, thing that he's taught us is don't be swayed by public opinion. This is the tough one. I mean, it was the toughest for me probably. Let's go ahead. We can read the verse 10:48. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now listen to this. This is real, okay? I don't have my Bible, but if you had one in your hand, this is real. This is like history. It's not fable. It's not a nursery rhyme. This is real. Think about the situation. Bartimaeus, blind, poor, has nothing. He's sitting on the side of the road and he hears this crowd. And it's a crowd. What's it say? It says a great crowd, right? Think about the crowds that were in the Bible. What about when they fed 5,000, right? That was a crowd. And this says a great crowd. And you have 5,000 people, 5,000 guys plus their wives and their kids. And this is a ton of people. So I thought of it as like a football game, like an NFL game or something. You get all these people. It's actually about 12 of these. I think that's the way I figured it up. Anyway, 6 or 12 of these rooms filled with people. That many people was my guesstimate. And you can imagine the sound that's coming from these people. They're just, Jesus, Jesus, and they're talking amongst themselves. Man, how long have you been following Jesus? Man, have you seen what this guy can do? They're just going crazy. And then you got this blind guy on the side of the road saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're going, shut up, man. He don't have time for you. He doesn't have time for you. What are you doing? You're blind. You're expecting something. What are you doing? Oh, that's the wrong one. So here, don't be swayed by public opinion. He didn't let them say, be quiet, and he was quiet, okay? It kind of reminds me of the skit, that we done a few weeks ago when Courtney was trying to get through and they were just pushing and kicking. That's what people do to you. That's what the public, the world, whatever, do to you. When you're reaching, you're trying to go somewhere, they're beating you down. But he just kept going. He didn't quit. Right? Right. Now we're going to talk about a few people. I thought this would be a good place to talk about people that cause us problems. First, we have some people that a lot of them sometimes are family, really. Sorry about that. Sorry to talk about your family like that, but there are people who suck the faith out of you. Y'all know people in your lives like that just suck the faith right out of you. You're sitting around, you know, you're not feeling good, but you're saying, "Well, I'm, you know, it's okay, I'm healed," and they're saying, "You probably got that swine flu." Right? You know what I'm talking about. Just suck the faith right out of you. You know, your marriage has been bad for years. Right? Your kids have always been terrible. You've been an addict for years. What do they say? They suck the faith out of you. Then you have those intimidators. Right? That's what they were doing to him. Jesus, he don't have time for you. You're not important. Right? Intimidating. Could be people at work. People at work. If you try to read your Bible at work. That's funny. You try to read your Bible at work, what do they do? Why are you reading your Bible? That'll be eating, you know? And what were they doing? Shut up, Bartimaeus. Don't distract Jesus from us. He's right there. Intimidators. Oh, yeah. Don't forget about the mockers. People that mock you for believing, right? You believe in that healing stuff, huh? Y'all are weird. That's the most one I got for that one, because that's what I get the most. Y'all raise y'all's hands. Freaky. Really. Look back in the Bible. What about Noah? You know, he's building that ark forever, it seems like. And man, you know, they're over to the side. You know, they said it to his face. Dude, what are you doing? You know, they're just over there. Man, that Noah, he's crazy, ain't he? They was mocking him. Abraham and Sarah, the same thing. People were mocking. Faith can make people look silly. When you're believing for something, you can't see. Right? That's faith. Believing in something you can't see. People are going to think it's silly. Especially if they don't believe what you believe. If they don't believe the whole thing. If they don't believe the whole Bible. They're going to think it's silly. What do you mean you're not sick? You ain't been to work in a week. It's faith, people. Seeing things that aren't there yet, right? All right, let's keep going. Number four, things that blind Bartimaeus is teaching us is Jesus hears the cries of desperate people. Do you believe that? Jesus hears the cries of desperate people. You know, we always talk about the scripture. You know, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by our weaknesses, basically. In the verse 49, and Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." He just stopped. You got a crowd, who knows how many people, 5, 10, 15, 20,000. And he stops and says, "Call him." And they called the blind man. Man, this is good right here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart," or "Cheer up," right? He is calling you. Get up. He is calling you. They're saying, "Cheer up." The people that was saying, "Shut up." And he said, "I would be cheering if you wasn't kicking me." You know? It's just crazy. That's what they'll do, though. You're believing something's going to happen. You're believing for a miracle in your finances. You're believing for your child to come back to God. Whatever you're believing for. When you're believing for it, you're crazy. When it happens, well, that's a whole different story, isn't it? Man, I need to know what you know. How did you do it? It's a whole different story when they see the result. Anyway, Jesus hears the cries of desperate people. The guys on the side of the road, just like we talked about, the crowd's crazy, and he hears the one guy. The one guy screaming out. You know he's screaming. He's got to be screaming. All these people. Man. One person. All right. Sorry. I just get to thinking. I forget to talk. So anyway, no matter what, you know, if we're going through our time and the crowd's saying, stop it, be quiet, you're dumb, you got to keep going. You got to keep believing. You got to keep praying. You got to keep fasting if you fast, you know. Sorry about that. You know, you got to, sorry, I didn't mean to say that, Nancy. You just got to keep going. If you quit, what do you got? What would happen if Bartimaeus would have quit? Peter said, oh, whoa, they're too loud. I better be quiet. He might have been blind and poor and dead, right? He'd have definitely been blind for a long time until the next time he saw Jesus. Oh, here's another good part of it. Verse 50. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to see Jesus. Threw off his cloak. You know, Mark wrote this in here probably for a reason. Just thinking. But if you look at the cloak thing, you know, there's been people that said, I wrote all this down so I wouldn't forget it, that cloaks were issued to people so you'd know they was a beggar. So you would know that this guy is official. He's not a faker. He's not a guy that's just out there that could actually work if he wanted to. But he gets this cloak, okay? Now, it was probably, you know, this is just my words, okay? I'm just a normal guy. But this was important to him. The cloak was important. Because, number one, it said, you can give me money because I can't make my own. It was his heater, his air conditioner. You know, it had to be shade from the heat, right? He's sitting on the side of the road in the shade. Now, here's an interesting thought. He's an official beggar. Who's paying the bills here? This crowd that he's yelling at. The crowd that's saying, shut up. Why wouldn't he just say, well, I better be quiet or I ain't going to get no money. I just thought of that anyway. This is a good thought, though. I mean, if he could have just quit, you know, who cares? Who needs to believe Jesus? I'll just work another 20 hours. Right? Who needs to believe Jesus? Just, you know, I'll just do it myself. We do that too, though, don't we? I got it. I got this. Take some Excedrin. It'll be good. Sorry about that one, too. So some things have more value in our lives than Jesus, basically. It's more important. Seems more important. I kind of had a story about that. I better get a drink before this one. Back, I don't know, several years ago, 10 years ago maybe, I started this car club. It was all about lowriders, just in case you don't know. And it was a pretty big deal for me. I mean, cars was big for me. I was, you know, I had my truck and I put the hydraulics on it, you know. I liked it. So I started gathering up these guys that and girls too that liked this same thing. And, you know, we'd roll around, you know, and it got pretty big. We got, you know, around at the peak of a whole deal, we had between 45 and 50 actual members. So it was big to me. You know, it was a pretty big deal to me. You know, we roll in, have 50 lowriders. It was pretty cool. But I had that, and I talked about that the first week. I had that, and I had that position, which wasn't really a position to anybody, you know, but to me and the other people. But to me, it was a position of authority. It was a position of respect, power, yeah. And I had a lot of pride in it, you know. It was like, it was my life for a long time. And and I talked about it before, was that was what was holding me back from going full bore into church. Because that my crowd, my people, weren't all about that. You know, we actually at times had made fun of Christians, you know, because they wouldn't join our club. My club was named Negative Horizons, which wasn't because it was bad. It was because, you know, horizon going negative, lower. Okay, I know I'm deep, but the thing was, this guy wouldn't join our club because it sounded negative. So which, anyway, so we'd make fun of him. Anyway, that's not a good moment, but it, you know, you need to know that. So I had a lot of pride in this group. And when I started coming back to church and, you know, trying to work a U-turn, and that's when I had to make that decision I talked about in the first week, because I had to decide, you know, I can't do this and that. So as you know, I had to talk with them and quit that, and I'm here now. Anyway, I need to probably say that, you know, just because you got a car, nice car, or a motorcycle, whatever, you can still love Jesus. I just wasn't at the place in my life to do it. At that time, I was worshiping cars instead of Jesus. I did that whole thing everybody else does, you know, get that credit card. And anyway, another whole story. So what's it for you? I mean, for most people, deep down, you know, I say it was the cars, but it was pride. And that's what it is for most of us, pride. Something you want more than you want Jesus. Something that you want, that you think is more important than Jesus. You know, it can be anything. It can be work. I have to be careful with that one too, because I work so many hours. But it can be anything. All right. After he threw the cloak away, what happened? Verse 51. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" What did he say? You know, I need to quit struggling with stuff. I need to go to church. He was not vague. He was specific. He said, "I want to see. I need my sight. I cannot see." He was real. You can't play around with Jesus, okay? If you want something, if you want to change, all you gotta do is tell him what it is. Don't play around. You know, I don't go to church enough. No. What's the reason? Why? Why don't you? What's the real reason? "I can't see," he says. "I want to see." All right, number five. We finally got there. Number five, the fifth thing that Bartimaeus taught us. Follow Jesus when times turn good. Well, we forget about that one sometimes, don't we? Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. He didn't say, "Thanks, Jesus, I'm out of here. Appreciate you. Thanks for the money for my electric bill. I'm going to go back to town." He didn't do that. Oh, sorry about that. About switch those around. Sorry. He didn't do it. He stayed with Jesus because he knew if he stepped away, what would happen? Jesus would get farther and farther and farther away. Is that right? If he would have sat right back down, he would just sit there and watch Jesus walk away. And that's the same thing that'll happen to us. If you focus on Jesus, you decide, okay, it's time. I'm going to church. I'm going to be real. I'm going to get serious. Okay? And you go to church for, you know, you go to church for a month. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, you're there. you're friends with everybody now. And then you miss one, come back for one, miss one, come back for one. Eventually, you just quit coming all together. I mean, that's just real. That's the truth. It's kind of like shooting. I'm not really good at shooting a gun, but, you know, if I was going to shoot a gun, I won't point it at y'all. If I was going to shoot a gun, you know, would I be looking at y'all while I'm shooting and my target would be over there? No, I'd be, you look at it, right, Tony? That's right, isn't it? You look right at it. Or, okay, my thing, you shoot baskets. Unless you're just real good, you don't look. But most of the time, you look. You want to look right at the goals because that's where it's going. You know, on dirt bikes, you look right at the apex of the curve, right? I'm talking to Isaac back there in case y'all didn't know. You don't look, you know, the four curves ahead when you're going into one. You're looking for the best spot, the right at the center of it. So that's what we need to do is look at Jesus. You know, and that means in real life terms, right? Stay in the Bible. Read the Bible. Read what the Bible says. Pray. Ask God, you know, what to do in life. Because it's really, it's not fake. It's not hocus pocus. It's just real life stuff. It really is. You know, if I need to know, you know, how to spend my money, it's in there. Responsibility about money's in there. Pastor's actually talking about it. Part 2 Sunday, in case you want to hear it. It's all in there, whatever it is. Any problem? I'm just checking everything here and making sure. I'm probably done missed it all, but just going to make sure it wasn't no good stuff I missed. I don't know. I think I hit most of it. Anyway, you don't always have to do it right, okay? You don't have to do it. You don't have to wait till you get everything right to see him. And that's the real, that's the whole three pages in one, okay? You don't have to wait. You don't have to be perfect. This ain't a church full of perfect people. You know what I'm saying? I almost didn't pay my taxes. They're late, a week late, okay? We ain't perfect people around here, and you don't have to be perfect either. We're just real around here. So, I don't know. What time is it, Kevin? I got 5 minutes? Yeah. I went over last two times, so I'm actually done. Anybody want to say anything about that? This is a good idea. Anybody have anything they want to praise God about tonight? Anybody? Being here? Excellent. Okay. Man. The ladies made it back. All right, I won't force y'all to talk good about Jesus. We'll just pray then and go on. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We just thank you for your word. We just thank you, Father, that you help us as we go through everyday life. That anytime we need you, Father, you're there. Or the answer's in your word, Father God. All we have to do is ask. And we just thank you that you're with us going out through this week, Father God. And if we need you, we can just pray. And even ask a friend from here. Bless this group, Father God, as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.